Storm damage? Call Lakeside Roofing. We've got you covered. Beware of fly-by-night storm chasers. Lakeside Roofing is family-owned and operated, serving Greater St. Louis for more than 40 years. We are committed to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship, with a solid reputation of reliability and competitive prices for both residential and commercial roof systems. For a free estimate, call Lakeside Roofing at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and inside STL.com.
Doug, did you see the Ween sign held up in the back of the WWE?
Didn't. That's all it said was Ween?
It was the Ween logo.
I miss
Dean Ween. As I said at the start of the show, we had two teams, Steve and Wild, and then I think there's another one that dropped out because the guy keeps posting about it on a fan page. So there are actually two available teams for the Wiffle Ball Tournament now. It's a $150 buy-in. Contact me, Tim McKernan at InsideSTL.com. For Saturday's Bud Light presentation, Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, of our third annual Inside STL Wiffle Ball Tournament. So if you and three friends can make it to Francis Park, 10 a.m. Saturday, email me, Tim McKernan, InsideSTL.com. Otherwise, we would put those two empty spots in our group and then just have to beat one team to advance. That's how I would handle this.
That sounds fair. I would think so. Just take the...
Especially if we're going to have a pitching situation, we need to forfeit.
Yeah.
That's what I think we need to do.
It would be nice to forfeit your way to a tournament title.
That's right. That's right. Registration starts at 10 a.m. at Francis Park. We're Kolache Factory. Boy, those kolaches are taking off in St. Louis. We'll be bringing breakfast items, and our fields are brought to you by Five Fields: Yellow Bats, Gold's Gym, Lesher's Flowers, Captain Jim's Fireworks, and Smoking Barrels Barbecue. Where is our game? Oh, you're at Smoking Barrels Barbecue Field. Wonderful.
Well done.
We'll also have music all day presented by 4-Year Entertainment, and trophies are provided by Ray Orff's Bowling and Trophy Shop. Trophies will be awarded for the first-place team. Come pony up Saturday, June 25th, this Saturday, for a day full of fun and games for a great cause. It is the third annual Inside STL Wiffle Ball Tournament, and we welcome everybody to come on by. It's presented by Bud Light, Maker's Mark, food served up by the all-new Dukes and Soulard and Truman's and Soulard. And our prizes include a watch from Vince Aguirre Jewelers. It's valued at over $200, and now we have two spots available. 32 teams, but two spots now available. Email me at tmckernan at insidestl.com. And once you buy in, $150 buy-in, you're in. You got a spot. Four players. Joining us right now from Chicago, where the Cardinals have won two in a row, ladies and gentlemen, on the appliance discounter phone lines, Derek Gould. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, folks.
Enjoyed your article this morning on the game. You said these last two games, if I'm not mistaken, I'm paraphrasing, so correct me if I'm wrong, have been two of the best games the Cardinals have played so far this season.
Yeah, I think we can all be in agreement. Like I said, I mean, you know, you go up against the best team in baseball or the team with the best record, a team that has not lost much at home. I mean, what, nine of their last 36 games they've lost at home? You know, huge crowd. Pitcher who has been pitching very well here for most of the season. You know, not their best pitcher. They get their best pitcher today, but, you know, Hamels has done well. And then Cardinals play a game like that where they take an early lead and then they hold it and they hold it and they hold it some more and they resist the fact that the Cubs are always, a lot of those hitters are one swing away from tying that game. And the Cardinals just don't allow it. I mean, I think that has to rate up there with their best.
Is there a lot to be gained in terms of the big picture by playing well in this series, you think, just in terms of confidence and team psyche and that, or do we overstate that sometimes?
You know what, Doug, my tendency is to say that we overstate that, but the vibe I got, and this may be just because they won, but I thought the way Matt Carpenter captured it was fascinating. I talked with him, you know, sort of on the side while he was watching the TCU game with the College World Series. And, you know, he said that, you know, that this series had a greater importance than, than just any other series. And he said it wasn't because it was the Cubs. It wasn't because it was Wrigley. It was because it was the division leader. And it was because the Cardinals had just lost five in a row. And, you know, he said it to me twice. He said, this is an important series. And he repeated that. And he goes, if the Cardinals came in there and, and then lost three in a row or lost two of three, then they would have lost seven of eight, and the season just would feel like it would be sand slipping through their fingers. And instead, they got a hold of something. They feel that they got traction. They feel that they got some reward for playing good games. They've won 2 one-run games after losing three in a row. They can walk out of here having felt like, you know, all right, they asserted themselves against the best team in the league, a lot like the Cubs felt they did last year against the Cardinals.
And Derek, after the rough start for Adam Wainwright.
Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Derek. How are you?
I like that, an exchange of pleasantries, Doug.
Right.
That's very, very British.
They're hitting it off well.
I enjoy that. But Adam Wainwright, looking at his game log, I mean, seven starts in a row now, you can say he's certainly given the Cardinals a very good chance to win after a bit of a rocky start for him.
Right. Yeah, over his last 20 innings going into last night, he chopped a full run off his ERA, and you know he's been part of the run of 11 quality starts. I mean, he's led the way for the rotation. He's been pretty candid about how he needed to get better, and he's been very pointed about how the rotation had to get better if this team is going to be the team that they often say they are, and they're certainly capable of being. It has to have improved starting pitching from what we saw in the first, I'd say, 6 weeks of the season, 7 weeks of the season. And Wainwright has been at the forefront of fixing it. He's looked good. He didn't have his best stuff last night. What leadoff hitter gets on six out of the seven innings that he started, I guess. But he, you know, he had the pitch when he needed it and got around it.
You give him any chance at all of putting together a big run and actually challenging the Cubs for the division?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. No, probably not. I mean, it's not the sizable gap. It's just that the Cubs are really good. I mean, you know, I don't think that they'll run away and, you know, that there's some, you know, juggernaut team out to win 110 games, or, you know, the Cubs might win the same amount of games that they did last year, 97, 98 wins. But that's probably could be enough to win the division by seven. So, I don't know. I think the Cubs are just a really good team, and they're going to run into their troubles. Had a pretty good debate with some folks here about, you know, how their pitching is set up and whether or not it's going to catch up with them in August. And they made a move yesterday to send out Warren so that he could get a few starts in AAA and then come back as a starter, like a sixth starter guy, because they're trying to prepare for the fact that innings might wear thin, or that the rotation might have a hiccup, or one of these starters might be just undone by too many innings, and that'll slow them down.
Wong got the start again in center field and took an 0-for-3. How do you think he looks out there? And do you think that's the plan here going forward, is for him to be the main center fielder?
Boy, I mean, they say it's not, but their actions say it is. I mean, I don't know if he'll be out there today. I mean, I guess against Arrieta, probably ought to be. But, I mean, they want to get him a lot of work out there. And he's had a fair share, I guess, of plays. He looked good at the plate in the other game, and not awful last night. So I think as long as he hits, they want a place for him. I think he was pretty adamant that he likes the dimensions of games the dimensions of the game that Cole Wong brings when he's at his best. And he was talking offensively and sort of what he offers the lineup. And, you know, if he's taking good at bats and center field is the place where they can go, it does seem that they just are going to, you know, try to work it out there, because that's best. Even late in the game when they go with a defensive-oriented good hands club, you know, they put Pham in left and keep Wong in center. So there clearly is an idea that they want to get him experience, they want him to get comfort, and they want to show it to him.
Do you think he'd be out there if he hadn't just signed a $25 million contract? I mean, I personally don't get it. I don't know why Piscotty's not in center, and you got Moss and Wright and Adams at first almost every night.
I agree with you. I don't really get it. Yeah.
The only thing that makes any sense is they just paid him a whole lot of money, and they're going to find a way to use him.
I mean, I thought that's what you did get yesterday was Piscotty in center and Moss and Wright and Adams at first. And, you know, Adams has good experience. I mean, he has good numbers against Hamill. So, I asked about that. I'm like, well, what does Adams have to do? And you know, Mike said that Adams just isn't as right now as Wong. And, I mean, that's a trend that he has used before, you know, whether a guy's hitting well in AAA or hitting well in the majors. You know, if he sees a guy who he thinks is hot, he's going to continue playing him. And Wong has that and the need to get experience in center field there. I can't quite get a handle on it, Doug, with what you're talking about, because I do think that it does kind of send in different kind of messages. I don't think that's related to the contract. I don't think the Cardinals are trying to legitimize a contract because trying to get value from Wong, because this year it's not all that expensive if he's just a part-time or role player or even in AAA getting right. It's the future part of that contract where things get pricey, which makes it all the more reason to get him right and not push him, not have him falter, not risk losing him for good, or not risk overwhelming him. If they were going that route, then maybe the safest route would be just to keep him at second and keep him slugging away at AAA. But it's curious to say the least, especially yesterday. But they get an idea in and they commit to it, and Matheny's hard to shake from it.
I guess I'm waiting for him to start slugging away. He's had 139 at bats. He has a total of 4 extra base hits, 1 home run. He's hitting .223 with 6 RBIs. I don't know what they're seeing that I'm not.
I can't help you. I don't know. I mean, he slugged away at Memphis. That's all.
Most of them hit at Memphis, or they wouldn't be where they are now. I'm not saying I don't get it.
I don't know what you want me to do, Doug.
I just personally saying I don't get it. I don't know why they would want him to be what he's done to earn the job as a regular center fielder. I don't get it.
I will pass along your message, and I will take the yell for you. I don't know what else I can do. They have not cared for my input. Or ask for it.
No, I wouldn't. No, I'm just kind of venting. I don't expect you to go yell at somebody. I'm just saying, just as a conversation point, there's got to be something there that I don't get.
He had 2 good seasons.
Well, so have some of the other guys, and the other guys are hitting now.
I understand that, but I think Cole Wong could get back to what he was in 14 and 15. That's what they're hoping.
I think Cole Wong has looked different coming, and it's small sample size theater, so I want to be hesitant saying this or careful saying this. I think Wong has looked better coming back from Memphis. And, we all know that they want Colton in the lineup. And yesterday's decision seemed to come down to they wanted a lefty. Was that lefty going to be Colton, or was that lefty going to be Adams? And when I asked that question directly, Matheny said that they want Colton in there because when he's right, they like a lot of the things that he brings to the lineup. And I said, well, Adams has been very good for a month and has history against Hamill. And Mike said, I think right now you're not seeing the Adams that you saw there for the past month. He goes, I don't think he's at the same spot that Wong is. And so if you ask if they are seeing something different than you are, then maybe that's where that point is that they saw something with Adams recently that is not as good as Wong. And we can have that discussion. Because I think Adams has done pretty well. In fact, I've been very impressed with what Adams a lot has been put against him. And, he could easily not appear in the lineup at all. I mean, the guy who plays the same position as him has 16 home runs already, had a big home run on Monday night. And you kind of figured, all right, well, he had a home run, so that means he's going to start tomorrow. It's just a matter of how it moves around. So that's where it came down to, Doug. And it, I mean, it almost is, that's the debate. It's you know, Matheny wants to get Colton experience in center field, was encouraged by his four at bats Monday. He gets to start Tuesday.
And Derek, maybe I'm grasping for something positive out of Trevor Rosenthal. It obviously wasn't a clean inning. He had the hit to Addison Russell, and he walked Baez. But just watching that inning, he seemed more confident. He got a couple swinging strikeouts. It just kind of looked and felt better. You didn't have as much worry maybe as you had in previous outings.
Yeah, it felt way different. It felt like he was making decisions with his pitches, not hoping with his pitches. I think that there was a lot of different vibe. I mean, the pitch strays up, and Addison Russell smokes it for a line drive base hit. Baez can change that game with the swing, very power hitter. So there's an element of being careful there. And then he strikes out the two guys. The first batter he faced, that was like, you know, vintage Rosenthal right there. That's the guy that they've been looking for. That's the guy they haven't seen for weeks. I did think that had a far different, feel than the previous night, than maybe the previous couple weeks of Rosenthal appearances.
Derek, I know you keep a close eye on what's happening in the minor leagues. The Cardinals have anybody down there that maybe we don't know about that's tearing it up? Somebody who looks like an up and comer.
Which what pitcher or position player?
Well, at any level, do they have somebody maybe that we don't know much about that has looked very good?
Peoria and Springfield this past week won the first half titles in their leagues. So Peoria in the Midwest League and Springfield in the Texas League. So they won berths or secured berths in the postseason, which I always think is interesting because it does give the Cardinals two different teams and actually two teams at pretty good levels for them to move guys around if they want to get them some playoff time. Like Peoria going to the playoffs is a chance to move some of the some of the recently drafted picks, if they want to get them playoff experience, they can move them there. That's not so bad. But like you know, Ryan Helsley there, who's pitching very well, has great strikeout to walk ratio, a strong ERA. He throws about 95, has an okay breaking ball. Luke Weaver for Springfield has a sub-2 ERA. He's 3-0. He's walked very few guys. I wish I couldn't remember off the top of my head, but has more than a strikeout an inning. In addition to having about 5 walks, maybe, and just very, very limited walks. Tui Villala has a great strikeout rate, though he doesn't. Twitter, I've been asking around a little bit, and it doesn't sound like he's banging on the door, so forcing his way into the majors up here. And then you have Harrison Bader's hitting very well at Double A. He took a ball off the finger here recently. Missed a couple games, but he's been one of the Texas League leaders in average and slugging, and has been just a conduit of production for the Double A team. And he is only 12 months removed from being drafted. So, 12 months removed from being in the College World Series, to be honest. So, strong year for him so far.
And what about Reyes? How's he doing at Triple A?
He is overwhelming hitters with his velocity, but he's not very efficient. He has to work on that. I mean, he just takes him a lot of pitches to get through an inning, takes him a lot of pitches to get through, a game, and has had some short games here recently. There's no doubt that he's one of the best pitching prospects in all of baseball, all the minor leagues, every team. But it's just a matter of efficiency and a willingness to get it out on the first pitch, an ability to get it out on the first pitch or the second pitch, and not an ability to strike a guy out with a full count pitch.
So you wouldn't expect him to be up anytime soon, or no? What do you think the timetable is with him?
I mean, unless he's being converted to center field, I don't know where there would be room for him, Doug.
No. All right, well.
I don't know. What would you like him to do?
No, I don't know. I just know that he's the number one prospect, and I'm wondering if they were close to bringing him up and using him in the bullpen, or what the plan was.
No, I mean, he's got to be more consistent to have that role, and the starting staff is going well, and they obviously have 5 guys there that they like. But the idea is for him to contribute at some point in time out of the bullpen, But to do that, they got to have a better idea that he's not going to come out there and take three batters to figure out where the strike zone is, and that he's not going to, you know, have two good relief appearances and then one combustible one. I mean, there's just a consistency that has to. I mean, he throws 100 and you know, can light up a radar gun, and I mean, seriously, can just make hitters look silly. But at the major league level, you know, those walks and that inefficiency is going to be exploited, and that doesn't do him or the team any good if they're pushing him into leverage spots.
Derek Gould, Post-Dispatch, and co-host of the Writer's Block with Benjamin Hockman and Ben Fredrickson every day here from 12 to 2. Derek, live in Chicago, Cardinals and Cubs. Jake Arrieta on the mound for Chicago this afternoon. Derek with us on the Appliances Counter Phone Lines. Derek, thanks a lot, man.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Hi, Gouldy.
Derek Gould with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug, I'm looking up the odds for today's Cardinals-Cubs game. You know the Cubs are a big favorite. Minus 250.
Yeah.
Wow.
Minus 250.
Arrieta's tough. Next to Kershaw, I guess he's second best at the moment.
About Waka?
I think he's probably done better than Waka.
Yikes. 314-880-0080.
That's a controversial take. Apparently controversial to point out that Colton Wong's hitting 223 with no power and playing all the time. Is it me, or does that strike anybody else odd?
I do agree
that they've decided
Derek.
That he's the center fielder.
No, I agree with him that he has looked different since coming up. It's a very small sample.
I guess. And I pulled for the guy. I mean, you can't help but like him. I think he's got a lot of potential too, but you've just got other guys doing it right now. I'm surprised that other guys sit on the bench while he tries to get right.
Guys, I miss Joe Strauss. We are all just talking to ourselves regarding the Cardinals. That's from the 314. I miss Joe as well. I don't know what the second part of the text means, though. Miss Joe Strauss, period. We are all just talking to ourselves regarding the Cardinals, period.
Well, that's kind of what you have to do, is talk to each other. Is there any other way to go about it?
That's why I was curious what the second part meant.
Yeah.
So therefore, texter, Doug just says 314. Follow up. Or anybody is what. I mean, ours is the type of program where
friends feel they can drop in at any time.
Right, and they can call in. 314-880-0808. It is the Ryan Kelly Morning After. A lot of people call it the People's Show. It's a quorum.
I don't know that anyone calls it really the People's Show. It's not their show. There's not a lot of other people on the show.
Plowhawk. Our intern, well, Madison. Madison, you've been interning with us now for about a month, I would say. Doug, is that right? What'd you say earlier, 28 days?
I don't know the exact day count, Tim.
How do you like the show?
It's very interesting.
Mm.
Wow, very interesting.
That's what you say when you're not sure about it.
No, yeah. I'm sure. It's definitely a very fun show to work on. I love it.
Is it? Well, thank you.
Why is it fun?
Great question, Shirley. Nice follow-up.
It's fun because every day is different, and you come in and you don't know what to expect.
That's true.
Ironically, neither do the hosts.
Right. Is this kind of what you want to do when you get out of school?
Not anymore, she says.
No, yeah, kind of. I'm just kind of getting my feet wet in all of the possible options that I have when I graduate. So,
let me ask you a controversial question.
Wow, this is Charlie's voted for Bear.
You've heard a lot of the different hosts on the show. Who's your favorite?
Oh my God.
A fair question.
Definitely. Oh my God.
Who's your favorite?
Can I say that?
Nope, you had to pick one.
Nice, Charlie.
That's such a hard question, though. Yeah.
Most of the lemmings just say Tim, of course.
Well, Tim's obviously great.
Yeah, clip there that you off. Go.
But Charlie does great as well.
Sure.
So.
Didn't mention Doug. She didn't mention Doug.
No, well, I'm not one of the great ones.
Doug's in third.
No, you're all great. You're all great. All
right. What do you think of working with that plow star back there?
He's good. He's been very helpful.
You notice that, Doug, do you notice
not
the difference?
Great. Yeah. Not great.
Yeah.
I think you're reading too much into this.
Probably so.
I don't know. I see
the
sometimes.
The show walks the straight and narrow.
I have the perfect view of behind the glass, and I just see chemistry there.
With the plowhawk and.
From a work standpoint.
Of course. Thank you for establishing
that. Yes. They seem to work well together. Plowsy seems like a boss, because you're kind of her boss, right? In a way, a little bit.
Plow Shark, are you her boss?
They're trading headphones.
Yeah, you want to repeat that? I can't hear when you
are
have
Are you
the
her
mic.
Boss?
No, not at all. I think Seymour, if anything, is the intern's boss.
Oh, all right. Okay.
But still, you're an easy person to work with. You're very respectful, but you do your job and you do it well.
I'm not very good at teaching people necessarily, and in this industry, you kind of learn by doing rather than just kind of watching somebody do it, whether it be running the board, cutting audio, etc. So I kind of just throw in the production studio, and that's kind of how you learn quicker in radio than just sitting back behind somebody and watching them.
There's a lot of levers to flip back there.
Sure. Absolutely, Doug.
All right.
Well, she said she had options. What are the other options that you would
pursue? Yeah, what are you entertaining, Madison?
Now they have to switch the headphones.
I feel like at a radio station, we should have more than one pair of headphones. It's just my opinion.
I would think so.
I like soundproof walls.
Now she can hear. You said you're looking at all your options.
Yeah.
I think the key word is options. I would look at lots and lots of options before you chose this option, just because this option is kind of an odd business to get into. What are your other options?
Well, I love radio, and doing this internship definitely has kind of pushed that further for me.
Yeah.
And I'm also looking into TV and broadcasting.
Have you done television yet, Madison?
No, okay. I haven't.
Do you have a TV station at SIUE?
No.
Okay.
So that's why I haven't gotten into that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But TV was always my first choice.
What do you want to do in television?
Sports broadcasting.
Sportscasting.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be the next Doris Burke?
Aaron Andrews. She's ultimate goals.
I think Doris Burke's outstanding. Male, female, take it doesn't matter. She's just outstanding, I think.
I think she's outstanding as well. And I'm not this negative person. However, I do think during the championship trophy presentation, she didn't, in my opinion, have the right tenor for that. She was kind of almost too low-key and professional when everybody
serious.
Was celebrating and it was the first championship in 52 years. I can have a little more fun with that. I mean, what I'm saying is I like watching people who have a little more fun with it and can kind of enjoy the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think she's great.
She does seem serious at all times.
And she knows her stuff.
Yeah.
You can tell the players respect her.
Yeah.
Coaches respect her. Pliers.
Where did she come from? Where did she work before this?
She was broker in time in Phoenix.
Was she really?
But she's been there at least, 15 years? She did a lot of women's basketball for a long time.
Is she?
Guys, I think I can hear the traffic on Hampton Avenue when I listen to the show.
Yeah.
Makes me feel like I'm there with you, like we're buddies. Thanks, the Wild Whisker Biscuit.
What they don't know is...
Literally 20 feet away from the road.
But we do that on purpose because it's like a baseball game. You want the crack of the bat.
Yeah.
You want the pop of the mitt. You want the of the crowd. So for this radio show, you want to be able to hear the cars going down Hampton.
I think that's
right. You want to be able to listen to the shrubbery there, Doug, what is that? What kind of a plant is that?
It's wispy.
This is like monkey grass right here.
You can hear it swaying in the wind.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. This looks like a blue juniper behind us.
It's really grown a lot since the last couple months, right?
Oh, it goes fast.
Because Cucky used to be running around, you could see him, and now it's almost 8 feet high.
And then in the winter, you're supposed to cut that right down to the ground, and it'll pop right back up the next year. Just a little primer on the grass proper.
Guys, Aaron Andrews hates this show. Thanks, that's from the 636.
She wasn't fond of it.
Mm-mm.
Congratulations.
I'm gonna pull up that text exchange.
You started to do a thing where you were going to interview her once a week, right?
Why do you say second person? You know what this is? First person, plural.
I said you started to do something where you were going to interview
her. Right, but you're on the show, baby.
But I wasn't there the week that you and Kat interviewed her.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Where were you?
Had to tape it.
Hamptons?
I was off with Lady Journalism somewhere in the Hamptons.
I thought the text messages would be saved.
And you two apparently did an interview with her, taped interview, that did not go so well, and you kind of cut it off right then.
It was awkward. It was very odd. I don't know what happened. Because I met her in person. It was her debut on Fox, actually. And I guess in hindsight, she was nervous, which was totally understandable. It was 2012, a preseason game. I was in Denver, and they were playing the 49ers, and it was her debut. What's his name? Kurt Menefee was introducing her to the audience, first day on Fox, and she couldn't have been more friendly. She was bouncy as all hell, couldn't have been more friendly. Got her numbers. She said she would do the show. It was totally cool. Going to give her, nothing that would change her life, but, whatever, fee for weekly appearance. And the first appearance, it was when Missouri was playing their first game in the SEC against Georgia. and it was an like almost odd condescending thing about Missouri not really belonging in the SEC. She went to Florida. And then I was texting with her like a week or two later, just friendly text exchange, and I knew that she had been on Clay Travis's show in Nashville, and they joked with her that the stereotype of Florida grads is that they all wear jean shorts. And she texted me and said, what are we going to talk about this week? And I said, I think we're going to talk about Florida grads all wearing jean shorts.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was A, an obvious joke, but B, brilliant material.
Very fun.
I was bringing my A game.
I would think so, yeah. Very, very humorous.
Thank you. And she goes, why don't you get some other material that a different show doesn't use? And I'm like, geez, I built my whole career on ripping off Stern. But in this case, she's talking about Clay Travis's show. And from that point forward, it was awkward because I don't think she got that I was joking and thought that I was legitimately making fun of Florida grads wearing jean shorts, which I didn't even know anything about until that discussion came up on Clay Travis's show.
What if she was joking, though, in her response?
I then followed up, and that's why I was pulling up the text exchange, but it's gone, to like joke, make it clear I was joking, and it wasn't resonating. And it also had gotten awkward. Producer Joe said something one time that was also harmless but clearly irritated her, and it just wasn't going anywhere.
No.
This was a relationship that wasn't meant to be. Well, I have nothing against her. Joe, I think, came on and appeared on a show filling in one day and used a strong term to describe her, which was awkward. Because, I mean, she just, I don't know what happened there. I don't know.
It's really damaged her career.
I think you can say that if she would have been on the show once a week talking Missouri football in 2012, which was a huge year, they won 5 games. And God, if they would have been
Syracuse. They're getting an
SP, Tim. They are. Also well-deserved. She would probably be in a much bigger position than she is now.
Yeah, her career has really bottomed out.
You bottom out.
Flatlined. I don't think she probably makes any more than $3 or $4 million a year.
What do you think she makes? What do you think?
I would guess what Doug just said is probably pretty close.
I agree with that.
Because I saw that, I want to say Skip Bayless signed for $5.5 million.
Per year?
Did he?
Or was that the total contract?
No, I believe it was per year, in all seriousness. So I bet you Aaron Andrews makes 3-ish.
He does one show a day, Skip Bayless? Is it an hour long?
They took him from ESPN. I'm sure they're going to build a First Take type show around him.
Yeah, but that 1 hour? 1 hour a day for $5 million?
I don't write the checks. I'm just saying I saw that number.
As of January 2016, Aaron Andrews, $20 million net worth, $2 million annually.
Yeah.
Well, she just got about a what? What was her settlement for that case?
$70 million?
I thought it was like 45 or 50. It might have been. I'll double check.
Either way.
That's not to say that they've paid up on that yet, though.
But she's also doing commercials. She does Dancing with the Stars.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I am just isolating on the salary from Fox. Yeah. I would say that's right. Was she LA or New York? Doesn't matter. Cost of living sick. But
it sounds like Skip Bayless has got the best job in broadcasting.
What about us?
If you show up 1 hour a day and you make $5.5 million, really?
People hate him, and I totally get it. His hate of LeBron, it's now become such a joke that he can never give LeBron any credit. But I do wonder deep down how much of it is an act.
Why does he hate him?
Well, his thing,
transparent. It's awful. I am fast. I God bless him. It doesn't affect me that he's making whatever he's making. I'm surprised to hear $5.5 million in a major way. Surprised. I very skeptical of that. But hell, I have no idea. I don't understand how that's as successful as it is if he's making that kind of money. That really surprises me. But you know, what do I know? Because I think people recognize it for what it is. It's not particularly thought provoking. It's an act. It's absurdly transparent. I mean, do people really watch Skip Bayless and get upset? It's like watching the WWE and, you know, they bring out a character from Afghanistan and he rips America. I mean, do people really? I guess people probably do really get pissed, actually. Bad example.
I'm reading here. It says, but in the year 2016, it was reported that Bayless was leaving ESPN for Fox. Richard Deitch, the sports writer, wrote on Twitter that his best guess was that the salary Skip Bayless would receive would be $5 million.
That was a guess,
He did say guess.
I thought I saw 5.5 somewhere when he first was announced that he was going to Fox.
Doug, First Take is more than 1 hour, and Skip Bayless is a hustler.
How long a show is it?
I don't know. So I just read the text, baby. You can email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Two tickets to Darius Rucker this Friday is the prize. It's a Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. That'll come up in the Tease Farm. 9 o'clock hour. Also in the Tease Farm's 9 o'clock hour. The Timberfakes will be here. And, Doug, it's Timberfakes' birthday, so you can wish him a happy birthday.
All right.
Did we get him anything?
I didn't get him a darn thing, no.
I texted Tony Timberfake, T-O-N-I.
They're married already, or she's just taking
They call
his
themselves
name?
The Timberfakes.
Do they?
And I really want to get together with a studio. Is that at Cool Fire Media or something like that? And, Doug, we always talked about doing shows.
Mm-hmm.
This could be our show. This could be our reality show.
Just the two of them
parading
around town.
Yep. I really do think it would be a win.
I think it might be.
I have to say, legitimately, I'm interested in doing this.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It would be fun to put that together.
But Tony Timberfake, I texted her. I said, good morning, Tony. Everything good? Because in the back of my mind, sometimes I wonder about what I call reliability with the Timberfake family.
Yeah, that's fair.
And she said, hey, GM, on way.
And by GM, she meant general manager?
But I'm not the general manager.
You morning after fan page.
All the haters and to all of our fans, we love you from the Timberfakes.
You Tony Doe Dow.
That's funny.
Boy, she cusses like a sailor.
Yeah. So be quick on the trigger back there, Plow Shark. Yes, Charlie.
I have a more definitive text from Richard Deitch, April 28th of this year, from a reliable source. Fox Sports is paying Skip Bayless in the neighborhood of $5.5 million per for 4 years, plus a $4 million signing bonus.
Holy smokes.
Doug, what's going on? I'm so confused.
I am too. Can that show really generate that kind of money?
Yes, it does. But that's the thing that surprises me.
Well, you see,
I guess maybe I just need to give up hot takes.
You see, some of these people in syndicated shows like Ellen DeGeneres, and she's probably at the top of the heap, but there are others like the Wendy Williams and the Dr. Oz's.
Ooh, I can't watch that one.
They're making like 40 or 50 million a year.
Especially if they own the production company.
Judge Judy's up to like $50 or $60 million a year.
But on that one, even though it's not my bag, I know that there's an audience for it. The Skip Bayless thing legitimately surprises me because I'm surprised there's an audience for it. Not because I dislike him. It seems to me very obvious what it is.
I mean, he's making more than us. Well, I don't know what you're making.
Well, no, actually, everybody does now.
Oh. Well, $5.5 million, that's a little bit more than what we make.
A little bit.
We're
on
3 hours.
Cost of living.
Tim, they have a show like the one you're talking about for the Timberfakes. It's called Intervention. Thanks, the right city lemming.
I haven't seen that show.
Doug, can you check my prostate? I pee a lot at night. Thanks, the tickler. It's Timmy the tickler. Boy, I'll tell you, I don't know what the hell's going on, but I am visiting the little wizard's room like a champion these days.
Oh.
Isn't that bad?
Yes.
While you're sleeping?
It's the worst.
I didn't want to say anything, but I thought...
Yeah, it is bad. And I told my doctor, he goes, that's not a... Yeah, I don't know.
Boy, there's a guy at Channel 4, about my age, he just went in for a whole workup on that with the prostate, and they had to jam a tube down his, his pee hole.
And a cystoscopy? I've had one of those.
Yeah,
he said it was
the worst thing that ever happened to him in his life.
Oh, my God, I had it. I talked about it. We were above the sex shop.
Yeah.
I wrote about it on InsideSTL.com.
I guess
you can type in cystoscopy in Google Images and your life will never be the same.
Is it because you have a big prostate? I think his is big. And so
how do you know his prostate's big,
bro? Well,
that's
what he said. He said the doctor told him it's too big, so we're going to lessen it so that you can go to the bathroom. Sounds like you're going too much. It could be an opposite problem.
I go once a night. But it's early, and it sucks, and sometimes I can't fall back asleep because my mind is always going.
How late are you drinking anything at night?
I don't know, like 7:45, and it's just water.
Yeah.
God, this little wizard's room, man.
Well, I hope you don't have to go through that again.
Tim, get your blood sugar checked. It's from the 314. Diabetes, buddy, that's what people are saying.
Blood sugar sex magic.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Well, that's a pleasant thought.
I'd kind of be a little surprised if I had diabetes.
You seem a little young to have the issue with the getting up in the middle of the night, though.
I know. I'm going to text my doctor.
Have you had it checked out?
I'm going to annoy the hell out of him. He's a loyal listener, too.
Is he?
He's probably, he might just text me in advance. Yeah. What's the deal with me having to use the little wizard's room? That's what they use in the New England Journal of Medicine.
Yeah. They do have adult diapers.
You think I should just wee myself?
Well, remember that gal, that astronaut who tried to drive from Houston to Florida to go
Sally Ride, an inspiration.
I don't think it was
Sally.
No, it was some lunatic
Buzz
astronaut.
Aldrin.
Remember her? She was going to go kill her female rival. That
Neil Armstrong from Wapakoneta, Ohio.
None of these people. No, it was just one lunatic, one rogue girl in the space program, and she tried to drive
Matt
from
Damon
like Houston.
From the
it wasn't Matt Damon. Tried to drive from Houston to Florida, and she was in such a hurry, she wore adult diapers so she didn't have to stop to use the restroom on the way. That's how crazy she was. But no, it wasn't Matt Damon. It wasn't Neil Armstrong.
Gary
Sally
Sinise.
No, it wasn't any of these people. It was a big story in the news there for a while. You don't remember that?
I don't.
I remember the story. So you're saying because she drove to Florida wearing a diaper, I should?
I'm saying that they have products out there for people who can't get through the night. And I guess as you get really old, sometimes you don't wake up and you still go.
Doug, if anybody on this show should not bring up diaper talk, because now that you bring it up, I feel like it hasn't been discussed for months and months and months. And for you to open that can of worms again was not a good play on
I'm
your
just
part.
Just trying to help out.
And the emails are going to back
it had
that
medicinal
up.
Purposes.
All I'm saying. I'll tell you what, though, about we wake up. I'm telling you, I've said this many times. When I wake up and I go to the bathroom right off the bat, that's one of my favorite times in the morning. Seriously. You wake up, you have kind of your morning bathroom, and then you feel light, you feel spry. It's like the lightest you'll be all day.
Really?
Well, I'll tell you, if I have morning wood when I have to wee, it's a whole thing. Mm. I mean, I've really got to, like, lock in, and I'm not interested in locking in at that moment. But what am I going to do?
Doug?
God bless America.
I don't know what to tell you there, Tim.
Doug, can I bring something up that
what is it now, Chuck?
I want to talk about. I noticed, because you're sitting to my right, I noticed you have a big pimple on your neck.
It's not a pimple.
What do you got going on, it's baby? I'm an old man in love.
It's one of these little pre-skin cancer things that I got to get zapped.
That looks like a pimple.
It isn't.
Looks like now a, I feel it looks bad. Like a hickey.
Now I feel bad. Yeah. I swore, because I thought about that.
I've had skin cancer in the past, and when they kind of pop up, you got to go and get them zapped.
It looks like a pimple.
Well, I'm sorry, but it isn't. I wish it was.
Tim, take a look. It looks
show
like
me
white,
your neck, boy.
It looks like a whitehead.
I would not call that a pimple.
I wish it
wouldn't
was.
Wouldn't even come close to it. It's a bad really? Read, sir. Yeah. It's a bad
I'm
read.
I'm going to have to go to the doctor and have it zapped off.
I think it looks like a pimple.
My doctor's...
Thanks for bringing it up, though, Joe.
No problem.
Tim, I noticed your head is not symmetrical. Is there something? my doctor just texted, listening, so I didn't even have to text him. God bless him. He said, LOL, you have no prostate problem. Getting up once a night for an almost 50-year-old is normal. I'm 39. Good doctor. Anna Marie listening. Tim, nothing is wrong with you. And then she included an emoji. We communicate in only emojis. Once again, 39 years old.
Well, I don't have to get up in the middle of the night.
Timberfake texting me. My phone could do its own show. I want to walk in the show to Bobby Brown's My Prerogative because me and Tony are the new Bobby and Whitney.
That didn't end well.
It's a matter of opinion for the audience, I know. Kolache Factory, Doug. Have you had these kolaches yet? Holy moly.
I've had a kolostomy.
No. Not good for the spot. Oh. Kolache.
Okay.
It's a breakfast dish.
No, I haven't had it. Sorry.
Charlie, what about you?
I have.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah.
You're not ad-libbing here, are you?
No.
All right. What did you have, boy?
I feel like I had like a breakfast one.
Well, that's what they are.
Yeah.
But what was in your kolache?
It had egg. It had some meat. I think some sausage.
Doug,
maybe some cheese.
That sounds good. I wonder where you could get one of those.
The Kolache Factory.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, that's convenient.
Yep. They have breakfast and lunch. Skip the donut shop because they have sweet and savory options. A kolache is like a dinner roll stuffed with delicious combinations like sausage and gravy. Jalapeno pepper, bacon, egg, and cheese, and the Philly cheesesteak. They have sweet fruit and pastry options as well. Large orders are easy. Call ahead, and your order will be ready when you are. They are located at 2604 South Brentwood Boulevard, and you want to try it on Sattersby at the Wiffle Ball Tournament. Kolache Factory will be serving breakfast as people show up to Francis Park on the Tam Avenue side for registration at 10 o'clock. I believe the Timber Fakes are going to be at that as well.
Anna
Marie's going to be there. Caller Jordan's going to be there. That'd be a fine lady, man. That'd be a fine lady.
Okay.
Our audience, fine.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen some of them. I mean, the ones you're talking about, yeah, it's beautiful. But, you know, most of the others, a little bulky. It's a fine collection of folks, though, Tim.
Great Americans, Patriots. Yep. Ryan Kelly makes it possible. He is the title sponsor of this show. If you're grateful for this show's surprising existence, then thank Ryan Kelly by making sure when the time comes to buy a home or to refinance, you do business with Ryan Kelly. I have done business with Ryan Kelly over the last week, closing on Friday as I sell my condo to my young sister, Mara. And we've gone through Ryan Kelly.
Why don't you just give
it to her? Did you overcharge her?
Of course I did.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at some comps in the area. Now, this thing, I know it's listed this way, but it's worth at least $75,000 more, and everybody mm-hmm. knows it.
And the value is going to skyrocket, sure. too, as soon as you get into it.
Implied odds is what I speak yeah. to.
Well, at least you've made the good choice of going to Ryan Kelly, because that meant that the whole mortgage process went by without any problems, without any snags, without any hassles at all, because that's what Ryan Kelly does. He makes the whole process very, very simple. You call him up. He gives you an idea of what you can expect. You come in, and sometimes just in a matter of a few days, not much more than a week, almost ever, he'll get the whole process done, whether you're refinancing or buying a new house. And real estate is really, really hot right now in the St. Louis area. A lot of houses are on the market for a day or two, so you got to get busy. It would be smart to get pre-approved through Ryan Kelly if you want to do that. He's the number one mortgage lender for most loans closed in the Midwest by the Scotsman's Guide, number three in the country for FHA volume, number nine in the entire nation for most loans closed last year. That's really pretty remarkable that he's number nine in the entire country for most loans closed, and he got there by doing people right, by saving them a lot of money, sometimes hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars a month if you got a big house, big mortgage. Here's his number, 314-781-9700. 314-781-9700. His website, if you'd like to poke around and get a lot more information before you call, is thehomeloanexpert.com. Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Ryan Kelly. Kelly. Title sponsor of this award-winning mm-hmm. presentation. Yeah, Matty Bear.
Hello, Matty.
Hey, Tim. What's up, man?
What's up, Matty Bear?
Doug, what's up?
Yeah, not much. What's up, Matty Bear?
Hey, I got three questions for you.
What is it now?
This is fun. This is the Doug looks like we're doing a press conference.
All right.
Did you know today was National Donut Day?
I thought that was like last week.
Chocolate eclairs? No, it's today. National Chocolate Eclair Day.
You know what? I didn't know that. Why, do you have some sort of anecdote you'd like to share?
No, I'm just letting you know, man.
Okay.
What do you think about Sobotka coming back? And would you make love to Ellen DeGeneres?
Those are great questions.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thanks, Matty.
Sobotka, I think, will help. Scrappy little guy.
Good on face-offs.
Yeah, gets up his wing, gets down his wing. Ah, yes, wing. Yeah. He'll be nice to have. Ellen, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Is she still married to
yes.
Portia? Tim, what's the last name?
DeRossi.
DeRossi?
Yeah, mm-hmm. they are. They've been together for a long time.
Mm-hmm. She's very attractive.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that.
Ellen's not an unattractive
person. Yeah, I was
going to
say, she's not unattractive.
Yeah, she's fine.
You imagine Ellen wears the strap on there?
Yes.
Okay. Janie the Lesbian was texting me yesterday. She said in her office, they were discussing tribbing, but with women who don't have legs.
Who was discussing that?
Hold on.
How often does that come up?
She said, I've conferred with Josh, the should-be TMA listener of my office, and Kelly, the new gal. Both agree with my analysis, but Josh and I feel we need a new term. Perhaps a mashing connotation or something like sans shears.
Oh!
Janie the Lesbian from Minnesota.
It's insensitive.
She's a lesbian, though.
You don't know his pliers, Tim. Like little short stumps. Still can get the job done, but not as effective.
Are we really talking about this?
That's what the people want to talk about.
Sans scissors?
First of
shears,
all,
baby,
sans shears.
This is one of these situations, a la a lot of them, if you go to UrbanDictionary.com, that's never happened. It's never happened.
You don't think there's been tripping?
With two people with no legs?
Yeah, probably not.
I do not think that's ever happened in the history of mankind.
I'll agree with you.
Yeah, I'd have to.
I don't think that's ever even come up.
I don't know. The San Fernando Valley keeps trying new genres. I wouldn't surprise me to see it up on my ex-hamster this week.
Maybe there's one person, Doug, that doesn't have legs. The other person, I'm just saying, I don't think that's ever actually happened.
Probably not. It's probably never even been discussed before right now. The topic is probably never come up.
A lot of sports talk shows around the country.
Probably none. In fact, I'm sure none.
Yikes.
Who brought that up?
Janie the lesbian.
That was her original idea.
What do you think? I'm sitting in my office.
Her original thought.
I don't have much to do today. Maybe I'll ask Janie the lesbian about amputees tripping and see if she's got a name for it.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. But she had that thought and texted you.
At 12:48 p.m. Well, I guess Monday at 8:51 in the morning, I texted her, is it still scissoring if the lesbians don't have legs?
Okay, then you brought it up.
Yeah, but that was 2 days ago.
I don't care when it was.
Well,
you brought
it
up.
If you think about the science of it, no, I feel like they still could trib, though. And she spelled though, T-H-O. But then yesterday, apropos of nothing. You like that? Apropos of nothing.
I didn't care for it,
pretty
no.
good. I could live in Ladue now.
I like that word.
Thank you, Charlie. At 12:48 p.m., apropos of nothing. She said, in further discussion of lesbians with no legs, I feel like there needs to be a term to apply no leg tribbing. I've conferred with Josh, the should-be TMA listener of my office, and Kelly, the new gal. Both agree with my analysis, but Josh and I feel we need a new term, perhaps a mashing connotation or sans shears.
Mm. Wonderful. So you brought it up, and she took the ball and ran with it.
Right.
So I blame you.
Timmy, I think you're fine, but better safe than sorry. Go get some digital from your doctor to be sure. The old fun and peace of mind combo.
That's his name? The old fun and peace of mind?
It's the Wildwood Whisker Biscuit, but he's saying I can have fun by getting my prostate checked.
Oh.
But then also have peace of mind.
Okay. Hmm. But the doctor, he said, he emailed in or texted. And said he thinks you're okay.
Says getting up once a night for an almost 50-year-old is normal, but I'm 39.
Yeah, you're not close to 50.
Did he really not know that you were... I mean, because that's kind of like a big gap of age. I feel like if he's your
doctor, I look like I might be 50?
No.
50-something, yeah.
That's you don't what even he look. Thought. You don't even look 40.
This was a medical professional, though, Chuck.
That's what I'm saying.
My doctor.
Yeah.
Good guy. Loyal listener. And then my wife's irritated because I'm a, is that hypochondriac that always thinks something's wrong?
Yes.
I feel terrible for my doctors. I really do because I always think something's wrong. I honestly do. I totally.
Every time you have an ache or pain, yeah. You think you're dying.
Yeah. Well, the truth is, and it's actually serious. It's because I was, what I don't want to say misdiagnosed, but I was told I had lymphoma, and it turned out to be incorrect. Ever since then, you automatically, because all I had was a cough. Oh, 48 hours later, I'm told I have lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, now you're just automatically predisposed to thinking any little thing is something terrible. So yeah. That's the reason for it. But I feel terribly for my doctors and my family because they got to put up with me being bat crap. Anyway, we got a break. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. We have two tickets to Darius Rucker this Friday at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Tickets on sale at LiveNation.com. It's Timber Fake's birthday. So many people wanted to celebrate that, and so he is coming in. We're going to meet his significant other,
right.
Tony Timber Fake.
Okay.
And they're the hottest couple in St. Louis, the new Bobby and Whitney. The only time we sleep is during Sex in the City?
I don't know about that. And you're going to discuss the new TV show that's in development, starring them.
We got to start our own production house.
Yeah, that would be fun to do. Would be fun to do. Where are you going to put the stuff on the air, though? Just online?
Maybe KMOV Thursdays at 8.
I don't think they'd knock out CBS programming for it.
Fox 2?
All you can do is make a call.
Fox 2 might. They don't have anything else.
9 o'clock hour brought to you by Tease Farms. Next, Ryan Kelly, morning after.